Thy Kingdom Come. Chapter 3, A Brief Chronology, written by David W. Dyer. Chronology is the science of ascertaining the fixed periods when past events took place and of arranging them in the order of occurrence. Webster's New Universal Unabridged Dictionary, New York, Simon & Schuster, 1979. Biblical chronology, then, is the science of putting together the events and dates which are found in the Bible. This chapter is a simple examination of God's timetable for His work on this earth and approximately where we are on it. In the Bible we read, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day." Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. God's work of creation and restoration on this present earth consisted of 6 days with a seventh day of rest. God did not choose to take weeks, months, or billions of years to accomplish this work. The fact that geology and other sciences seem to indicate an older earth will be dealt with in chapter 5. Our God is capable of doing anything. He could have created the universe in 6 minutes if He so desired. We should realize that even time is the invention of God, which He is using to accomplish His own purposes. Just because we are confined to it does not mean that He is. He exists eternally and is almighty. There are no limitations on Him whatsoever. However, our real purpose here is to examine the reason that God had for making the heavens and the earth in 6 days and resting on the seventh. Why did He do things this way? Why not 8 days or 5 or even 50? Since there is nothing recorded in the Bible which is accidental or does not have some meaning for us, perhaps there is something about God and His creation which we can understand from it. So, the remainder of this chapter will be an investigation of God's 7 days. There is another very significant verse of Scripture which also speaks about days. Peter, in his second epistle, addresses the question of the end of the age and the second coming of the Lord. In this context, he says, "But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. In this verse is the key to understanding the 6 days of creation. It contains a fact that the writer considered very important and about which he was concerned that believers would not be ignorant. Here we find a simple equation. One day equals 1,000 years, and 1,000 years equals one day. To take this one step further, we could say that one day of creation represents 1,000 years of time, which God has allotted man upon this earth, and 1,000 years corresponds to one day of creation. Lest some of you think that I am taking this too far, let us investigate some biblical chronology. Although many people do not realize it, through the years, some very scholarly men of God have studied biblical chronology. Among them are Theophilus of Antioch, 3rd century A.D., Clement of Alexandria, 3rd century A.D., Eusebius, 265 to 340 A.D., William Hales, 1809, J.N. Darby, and Martin Ancy, to name just a few. One publication which may be of interest to the readers is Chronology of the Old Testament by Martin Ancy, published by Kriegel Publications in Grand Rapids, Michigan. These men and others have traced the often slender thread of dates through the scriptures to arrive at a very good idea of how many years it has been since the creation of Adam and Eve, as well as the timing of important events, such as God's covenant with Abraham and the advent of Christ. Although no two of these men agree completely on every date, the interesting thing is that almost without exception they are very close to one another, within a reasonable amount of scientific error, and considering the great age of the documents and dates with which they must work, they essentially agree. Most of them come within 100 to 200 years of each other. Now, for a simple person like myself, such in-depth study of ancient history is a bit beyond my scope. But since these scholars agree with one another to a reasonable extent, I am inclined to accept their learned opinion. Peter the Fisherman's brief chronology is more in my league. The surprising thing is, however, that Peter and the scholars agree. Their study and his revelation do not contradict one another. As one would suspect, honest intellectual investigation only serves to further support the Word of God. Did you realize that according to the Bible, the present earth has been in existence for almost 6,000 years? Since the 6 days of creation until now, about 6,000 years have elapsed. Another interesting observation is that from the beginning of this world until Abraham was about 2,000 years, from Abraham until Christ about 2,000 years, and from the birth of Christ until today 2,000 years. This is no coincidence. God's plan and his way of carrying out his plan since the creation are very orderly. There is nothing haphazard or disjointed about it. Things are going just the way he intended them to, and as time goes by, his masterful plan unfolds. Let us assume here that when Peter wrote about one day being equal to 1,000 years, he meant something specific by it, and was not simply being poetic. Imagine for a moment that when God spoke these words through Peter, he was revealing something to us which could be of use in comprehending his timetable, and that he was speaking to us about the end of the age. To go further, let us believe just what the Bible says and take heed to it. God chose to make the earth, the heaven, the sea, and all that is in them in 6 days, because he had already decided that man's time upon the earth would be 6,000 years. Of course, let us not forget the 7,000. Since the I Am of creation knows both the beginning and the end, he planned to do things in this way. Much later, he revealed this to Peter the Apostle for our edification and benefit. These observations all point to one thing. We are rapidly approaching the end of this age. We are on the very verge of its completion. We stand upon the threshold of the second coming of Jesus Christ and the establishment of his millennial, 1,000-year kingdom upon this earth. And all this corresponds exactly to the 6 days of creation and the seventh day of Sabbath rest. The simple chronology of Peter the Fisherman is correct and is attested to by all the other scriptures. The prophetic utterances in the Bible, including the words of Jesus concerning the restoration of Jerusalem to the Jews, Luke chapter 21, verse 24, and the signs of his second coming point to this fact. We are rapidly approaching the end of the 6 days, the completion of the age. We have said all this to build up to one conclusion, and that is that there is a seventh day coming, a 1,000-year period of time, which is the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ. God is not through with the earth yet. If Jesus returned today, there would still be at least 1,000 years of time on this earth remaining. The next stop for God's people is not heaven. Those who are already with the Lord will come back with him and assist him in setting up his heavenly kingdom on the earth. Jude chapter 14. God still has some work to do here in this world, and his people have the privilege of helping him do it. Jesus is in the business of subduing the whole earth unto himself. All the nations, the people in them, even the animals and the environment will be put in subjection to him. This is the kingdom of heaven come down to the earth. This is the Father's answer to the first part of the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, New American Standard Bible. Let us now take time for a brief summary. God has always existed and will exist eternally. So before the earth was created, he was there, without time, in what can be called eternity past. At some point, he created the earth and later decided after a conference with himself to make man and place him on it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. In the process, he also created what we call time and confined man to it. The creating process took 6 days plus 1 day of rest, which corresponds to the time which God has allotted to man to dwell on the earth and accomplish his purpose. These 7 days are a foreshadowing of the 7,000 years during which man will have inhabited this present earth. Then, after the last 1,000 years, which is the kingdom reign of Christ, God will dissolve both the old heavens and the old earth and create new ones. There will be new heavens and a new earth. This is what most people call eternity. For our purposes, we will refer to it as eternity future. Man has been allotted a 7,000-year period on earth in between two eternities. There is eternity past, and 7 days of creation is between that and earth, 7,000 years, and then the kingdom comes. Then there is eternity future. That's a chart that Dave has in his writings at this point, similar to the one former chapter for this book. It is at the end of the last 1,000 years that the New Jerusalem, the Bride of Christ, is seen descending out of heaven from God. Revelation chapter 21, verse 10. This holy city will then be located on the new earth which God will create. The New Jerusalem and the new earth are what most people are referring to when they talk about spending eternity in heaven. Actually, it is not heaven at all, but a whole new creation. Of course, it will be heavenly in nature. In fact, it will be a whole lot better than the present heaven, since what exists today has been polluted by the sin of the fallen angels and will completely pass away. Mark chapter 13, verse 31. If heaven today were what God considered perfect, there would be no need for him to destroy it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. No, what God has prepared for those who love him is glorious indeed. It is an entirely new creation, the thought of which has not entered into the mind of man, but which God is revealing to his servants. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Now for a word of caution. Although this little chronology of events is very simple, we cannot be too sure about their exact timing. We are told the order of the things to come, but we are not told exactly when they will occur. As a matter of fact, the scripture plainly tells us that no one will know the exact day or the hour. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. Specifically, we do not know just when our Lord Jesus will return and usher in the millennial kingdom. God has given us the prophecies and the timetable of 6,000 years, but no one knows perfectly when it will be. It has already been mentioned that the Bible chronologers seem to agree within 100 to 200 years. Even they, scholarly though they might be, cannot be certain of the date. We do know that it will be about 2,000 years from the first appearing of Christ. But where shall we begin counting? Shall we count from his death or from his birth? As you know, our calendar begins roughly near the time of his birth, give or take 3 to 5 years. Just because secular history has chosen this date as its reference point does not mean that God has. A very powerful argument could be made that his death at Calvary is the real focal point of history and the turning point for mankind. What I am saying here is, even though the year 2000 AD has come and gone and Jesus has not yet returned, don't give up your faith. God is not slack, as men count slackness. He is just not willing that any should perish. If we were to calculate the 2,000 years from his death and resurrection, we would not even expect him until the year 2030. As a matter of fact, the verse in 2 Peter about which we have been talking was written to address this very problem. People who have been expecting the Lord and looking for his coming will become disappointed and disillusioned. Towards the end, some will even begin scoffing and asking, "Where is the promise of his coming?" No doubt many will be questioning this very thing if he delays longer than we think he should. Some Bible teachers will begin to invent new doctrines to explain away the millennium and or the second coming. Many Christians may even turn away from following Jesus because their hopes were raised again and again by preachers predicting the advent of Christ and then dashed when it did not happen. In these days when wickedness is abounding, there is a great temptation for our love for the Lord to grow cold. While others are enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season, Jesus is asking us to deny ourselves and follow him. If his coming does not coincide with our concepts, we may be tempted to disbelieve and fall away. I myself had expected the return of Jesus during the 20th century, but since he has not yet come, I, by his mercy, will not abandon my faith, and neither should you. Our faith should not be based upon a timetable, but upon him. In reality, the teaching of the Scripture is that we should live each moment as if he were coming today. Our lives and our hearts should be ready for him. The attitude we need to cultivate is one of constantly watching and waiting. If we do this, then we will be ready. Then he will find us doing his will, as we willingly subject ourselves to his lordship and live in his kingdom today. There will be no problem tomorrow. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Luke chapter 12, verse 43. You have just listened to a chapter from one of David Dyer's books. These recordings or copies of the book are available at www.agrainofwheat.com. No spaces, all small letters. That's www.agrainofwheat.com.